All right. Hola, amigos, and welcome back to Willie's View Podcast. We got our other host, Nathan. How's it going, Nathan?
Hello, Willie. How are you? I'm doing very well tonight right here on this Friday, heading into the weekend. I'm doing very well. I'm looking forward to us discussing a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
We have for tonight.
I know. We've got so much to unpack, and I got to tell you, yesterday was Thursday. I swear, it felt like Friday.
Oh, okay.
It was,
I see.
Like, all backwards. Have you ever had that kind of feeling?
No, I never had that kind of feeling before, ever. No, not really.
You need to have one of those moments. They're really cool. It's like a deja vu moment.
Right, absolutely. Totally understand that.
All right, so I know you got a lot of exclusive sizzling spoilers for us. So before we go on, I've got to share this with you because I've been wanting to share this like a couple of days already. We're getting fan mail, and you're going to laugh, but at least 10 people are asking me this question, so get ready for it. They want to know, what is it that Nathan's eating when he's on the podcast?
I'm not eating a lot. I'm just mostly eating, you know, I have water, and, you know, sometimes I'm eating, macadamia nuts or whatever. It just kind of depends on what I'm having, but it's mostly small.
Oh, no, that's good. I want to know, too, because, like, I was curious when... I know we have our moments where we just got to eat something or get some water. But the fans are curious, like, what is it that Nathan's munching on? Because you're making them hungry.
Okay, I see what you mean. But, yeah, nothing huge or big, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do you got for us? Let's kick it off with Young and the Restless. What's going on over there in Genoa City?
Okay, let's go to Ryan and then Russell's. In 2 weeks, here is what we got. Jack and Phil submit answers from Diane. Nikki has leverage against her enemy. Kyle is hurt by his mom's secrets. Tucker McCall returns. Nick is subbed by Elena. Lily goes out to Victoria for revenge. Audra rouses a few citizens. Nick's obsession of Sally escalates. Chelsea goes too far. Elena betrays Nate. Victor is really a victorious deal with Nate, but gives her the time to go after Chancellor Winters. Amanda sets things right at what cost? And will Devon seduce Elena to betray Nate? Also, get ready because next week on Thursday, September 28th, Tucker McCall returns, played in the four by Trevor St. John.
You know what? I am waiting for that day. For me, that's my big red letter day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well, see what Trevor St. John brings to the role. We have not seen him at all, except for the past couple of years, I think, when he was on that show. Roswell, New Mexico.
Check out Roswell, New Mexico on CW. Even though it's canceled, I definitely highly recommend it for all the fans because that's going to show you where we're at as far as where his acting is. It's phenomenal. He still has it. He still has that it factor. And that says a lot because you know how it is, Nathan. A lot of these daytime actors are just, how you say, just calling it in. Phoning it in.
Yeah, they're just phoning in, and for sure, St. John, he is one of the actors that never phones it in. And like I said before, he was on the show. He was on the show Roswell, New Mexico, a couple of years ago. It got canceled. Nathan Parsons, who played Ethan on General Hospital, was on there too. And Trevor St. John was also on Wanted to Live. And for those of you who have not seen his scenes or whatever, I recommend you guys check it out. He played Tom Manning a long time ago, I think after Roger Howarth left. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did great in the role. He was not my Tom Manning, it was Roger Howarth, but he made the role pretty impactful for me.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I enjoy that complicated story.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's very complicated.
And if you notice, when General Hospital did the whole reveal about the switcheroos between the DNA of Drew and Jason, I kind of got that copycat vibe from One Life to Live, where they're kind of like redoing the similar storyline, but in their own kind of way. What did you think about that?
No, you're not wrong at all. I had that feeling too. I mean, when Steve Burton came back as Jason, and then Billy Miller was Drew, you know, and Ron Carbide was writing Joe Hospital at the time, I just knew deep down they were going to do the same thing, well, kind of the same thing with what they did for The Tale of Two Todds on One Life to Live. But, you know, but to me, The Tale of Two Todds is more better than the one we had on Joe Hossel when it came to the two Jasons, so to speak, because that storyline on One Life to Live was very good, especially with Joe St. John playing Victor, Victor Lord Jr., and you know, and how all that turned out. But I totally see what you're going there for.
I know. I mean, you like to keep it real, so let's be real about this on General Hospital. Did you feel that when they had Billy Miller as Drew, a.k.a. Jason, did you feel they didn't give him enough time to have his own type story before they brought in Jason back?
Yeah, I kind of felt that they could have done more with the role when Billy Miller played Jason, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
Because it was obviously clear. I mean, you know, they were going to remove him from the mob, from Sonny, because everyone, I think at some point, I think we all knew that his time in the mob was getting stale and they wanted to do something fresh, so they were going to remove from the mob, and then they were going to, you know, have him at Aurora for the media, new media company with Sam, and, you know, and then Jason came back, and I felt that if he did not come back, if Seaborn did not come back, I kind of felt that maybe Billy Miller's Jason would have been more, you know,
accepted.
Accepted, you know, and, you know, totally moving on. Despite the couple of issues I had with that. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind it either way. I just felt that, obviously, the way how it turned out, we all know Billy Miller did not want to be there anymore based on the scenes that he had, the final scenes he had, and all. And I felt bad for him because, you know, if Steve Burton did not come back as Jason, I do think that he will still be at Joe Hospital still this very day.
Yeah, and me and you have talked about this back and forth in this podcast. I just can't stand the whole favoritism over an actor. It's just too much for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I know we all, like, adore Steve Burton. Don't get me wrong, he is a great actor, yes. But I personally felt he didn't need to be rushed to return that fast. I mean, have we learned nothing from how they treated Brenda?
Yeah, Brenda, you know, she got a short mistake when she came back, you know, all that time, you know, in 2010 when, you know, she came back, there was the Balkan.
A grown woman, and they're doing the same thing to her like they do with Chase. They make her act like a teenager.
Then don't get me started on Chase. Oh, my goodness.
Oh my God. We'll get back to that. So let's break down Young and the Restless here. Dude, I'm getting tired of Nick with his obsession with and I knew Sally. This was going to happen. I knew when he got with Sally, I knew it wasn't going to be lust or love. It's going to be an obsession. Because you know how Nick treats his women.
Yeah, I'm worried for Sally, and I hope that Adam, you know, does something to stop Nick or something bad to happen with Sally. Because I think that for Adam, look, we all know why he broke up with Sally. But I do think that he knows that Nick does not love Sally. I think he knows that deep down Sally's being used by Nick. And yes. I think Sally at some point will recognize that as well. She'll probably try to tell Nick, like, hey, Nick, look, we can't do this. We're not dating each other. But I think Nick is going to, I don't know, he might do something very risque.
Yes.
To Sally, but hopefully Adam somehow stops him. And Sally does open her eyes, because right now she's trying to get her life back together and, you know, try to move on in a way. But we all know that Sally had him in the end. But as far as Nick goes, you know, Nick, he doesn't have any kind of morals, in my opinion.
No.
He never had, actually. And
no.
I do hope that at some point for Nick, if they're going to reunite him with Sharon, they got to do it the right way, because they've been doing teasing and stuff for the past couple of months. after Ray died, and for this to happen, I think maybe Sharon will be the one that will snap Nick out of it.
I pray to the soap gods that they do not pair Sharon and Nick yet again because of the fans. Because that's going to just ruin it for me. Now that we got Trevor coming in as Tucker, I can't wait to see the chemistry between him and Sharon. Because remember, Tucker and Sharon used to be married.
Yes, they used to be married a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I would be interested to see how Y&R pick up on that one again. I just hope that Y&R does not drop the ball. Not only on Tucker McCall.
But Trevor. Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor. Trevor, yeah. I mean, you know, Trevor's coming back to soaps. Coming back to Y&R. And for him to play this role, and for the role to get duped or whatever.
Yeah.
It would be bad, but not surprising, because to me, I think the writing of the show is just up and down so many times.
Yes.
You never really know what's going on, unfortunately.
And I'm super excited. We learn, how do you say it? We get teased and then we always get disappointed. But again, now they're bringing another heavy hitter. I mean, we've come from more West to just different actors and actresses that have come and gone through Young and Restless. But now this is like a big coup right here. You've got Trevor St. John. Do not do him like you did Ashlyn Locke. Remember how Ashlyn was supposed to be a villain and they watered him down?
Yeah, and then...
I don't want that for Tucker, because Tucker's... He's almost like Ashlyn Locke, but he's different because he's very ruthless. He's very smart. He's like Victor Newman, but in another aspect. They can do it right if they write it right, but if they don't, then I just see a whole lot of disappointment for fans and for Trevor down the road.
Yeah, I mean, that fear always does kick in, because as we all know, Ashlyn Locke at first was played by Richard Berge, and then he was let go of the show because of COVID protocols, and then Robert Newman came to play him, and Robert Newman did the best he could. It was just the writing.
You can't do nothing if the writing's not good.
Yeah, the writing wasn't just there for Ashlyn Locke, so I hope that this time they know what to do with Tucker McCall, and I hope that Charles St. John gets respect he deserves, writing-wise, storytelling-wise as well, because I want to see him mix it up and see what he does when it comes to characters of the canvas.
Now, another thing. Remember that when Nikki talked to Deacon, he gave her a hint that he saw Diane with someone in the car, but he can't pinpoint who it is. Now, if you pay close attention, that's going to be Tucker. He's been watching her.
Yeah.
So she owes him literally for her life. So that's going to be a great twist, because we don't know what Tucker's going to do when he hits town. I mean, for all we know, he could go 180 and betray Diane.
Yeah, I got the feeling about that when you say that stuff like that, and I think that from the other scores we have right here, like, for example, Jack and Frost have been edges from Diane, Nikki has leverage against her enemy, Kyle's hurt by his own secrets, because whenever he returns, like, next week on Wednesday or Thursday, I think once he comes back and the secrets are totally spilled out, I think it's over for Diane, and I think her time at Joe City will be very, very short.
Now, here's another exciting thing that you didn't catch. Now that Jill is announcing that Chancellor Winters is supposed to go public, get ready for more chaos. Because remember, Tucker is Catherine's son. So that gives him rights. That gives him shareholder rights to some of Winters. You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally get what you're saying. I can see that happening.
I'm not sure if the writers are going to pay attention to this, but we fans will. Because just like General Hospital, with all those damn quartermains, everybody has a share, right?
Yeah.
So that means Tucker should have some type of share, or more so, because he's the son of the beloved Catherine Chancellor. I mean, as far as I know that Devon's rich because of Catherine, but if I'm right, doesn't Tucker have just as much money, right? He's rich.
Yeah, he should be a very rich man by now, after all these years. And I do think that from the old score we have of... Victor is really a victorious little name, but gives her time to go after Chancellor Richards. I do think that Tucker McCall may be Victoria by the punch, and he'll take Chancellor Richards away from not just her, but also from everyone else, especially Devon as well. I am interested as well to see if the show is going to have Tucker McCall in scenes with his biological son.
Oh, he does. Trevor's gonna have scenes with everybody. He's like I told you, it's gonna be really good. Now, this part is good on the writer's part. As far as I was told, Trevor's already done, like, scenes with everybody in the show that he's gonna have story with, which is, like, you think about it, it could be, like, anywhere from 6 to 8 stories. Because everybody on that cast in General City is all connected somehow to Tucker. You've got Sharon Tucker. You've got Abby Tucker, Ashley Tucker, Jack Tucker, Victor Tucker. Almost everybody is connected to Tucker. I just don't want it to be overdone, though. Like, let's not put Tessa and Mariah in with Tucker's story if it don't make sense. You get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. It has to make sense.
Right. I mean, I know she's going to be part of it. Mariah, I expect her because that's Sharon's daughter. Hi. Oh, you're Tucker. Okay. Oh, you're Mariah. You're the twin. He's going to have to get, like, used to this. And Tessa's the wife. But again, it's all in the writing. You've got to have the writing down packed, or it's not going to work. That's what I'm worried about. I was like, oh my God, I'm excited for Trevor. But please do not do what you did to him like you did Maura West.
Yeah,
you know, she got the screw over.
Right. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. The writing, of course, is a big concern for me.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, recently with Diane's return, that was hot, came out.
I'm still excited. I know a lot of people hate Diane. I adore Diane. I'm loving her. I love our Phyllis. But right now, I am on Team Diane. Because Phyllis has literally pushed Diane over and over and making it look like she's innocent, which we all know she's not innocent. Let's go back to a little bit. This is a Phyllis that ran over Cricket and Paul. This is a Phyllis that killed her best friend Sasha Green. And this is a Phyllis that pretended that the baby of Danny's was somebody else to play with his head to make him kind of think, oh, well, let me stay with my wife because maybe I may not be the dad after all, kind of like a head game. She's not innocent. Oh, and remember, she killed her psychiatrist. Remember, yes, Dr. Tim.
That's correct.
So don't tell me Phyllis is innocent. If anything, she should be relatable to Sally because Sally is almost, to me, is like a younger version of Phyllis. You know, I noticed this today. Do you notice how they're doing Nick and Sally? They're almost doing the same thing like they did with Phyllis. The only difference is they're just not playing video games. To me, it's Phyllis and Nick all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy to me. I mean, you know, Phyllis, like you said before, Phyllis is not innocent, and it does make her and Sally a little bit relatable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that this time for Sally, I think she's a little bit more, kind of has learned from her mistakes, but still is the same person in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do think that, you know, you're totally spot on about that. I totally agree.
And I'm very excited that I was hearing more spoilers. I'm glad that Sally still has feelings for Adam. Because that shows us hope that there's possibilities she could be reunited with Adam. Because I don't feel the chemistry between her and Nick. It's very disgusting. It's very crazy. And half the time I want to fast forward it. But if because of Sally, I watch it. And I struggle through it.
No, you're not wrong at all. And about Nick and Sally, I mean, those scenes are just boring to me. They're not good at all. You know, the chemistry between them is just, it's just lost. And actually, I'm glad you actually mentioned it because for last week's ratings, I actually have them right here.
Mm-hmm.
For September, I think it was 12 to the 16, that Nick and Sully had their love sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Yes. Right on, lost, I think, 200 viewers.
Oh, I bet they did. I bet they did. I know a lot of people did a boycott about watching Nick and Sally supposedly make love.
Yeah, totally. Weinar should have learned their lesson, and it backfired on them. So, congrats, Weinar. Congrats, CBS.
I don't know. It's like these writers are just getting more lazier by the minute.
Right,
but there is one thing I do like, and you're going to be surprised. I'm really enjoying the possibility of Chesler Winters going public, because now, like Tucker coming into town, that can be coincidence. That means we're going to have a lot of people coming out the woodwork, and they're going to want a piece of that pie.
Absolutely.
So Jill needs to be careful, because remember what happened on Dallas? Don't forget, remember on Dallas with JR, when they made Ewing public, oh my god, it barely survived.
Yeah, I remember that. So I didn't watch Dallas back then. I wasn't born during that time, but I watched the shows on YouTube, and like you said,
it was rich, though. You know what I'm saying? It's rich storytelling.
Yeah, rich storytelling. Yeah, Ewing Enterprises, Ewing Oil barely survived.
Yeah.
And, I can see the same thing happening right now with Chancellor, which is, like you said before about Tucker, I probably hope he does take control of the company and takes it away from Devon, because that way...
Dude, I want that so bad, because Devon has been so rude to everybody in town. It's time for him to get pushed off the pedestal. Just do it all the way. Push it down.
Yeah,
let him suffer. I don't care if he... I'm going to be honest. I don't care if he ends up losing everything. Let Tucker take it all. Maybe this is his way of teaching him, well, you know what? I've been hearing what you've been doing with that money that my mom left for you. You know what? I can take it all back because I'm your dad.
That would be soapy. That would be great. Devon, I mean, I like Devon, but Devon, as we always know, he could be... an ass. I mean,
oh,
you know,
God, he's been once just... for, oh my God, these last few months. I mean, look what happened with that, I hate to bring it up, but remember that baby storyline? That was a nightmare.
Yeah, that was just...
He never gave, and I'm not an Abby fan, I felt bad for her. He never let up on Abby for 1 minute. I get you're supposed to be the baby's daddy or something, but, dude, let her breathe. You know, I'm surprised she didn't have a panic attack.
Yeah, he was just... Yeah, I remember that very well. He could never lay off of Abby. Never gave her
no.
Especially when Chance came back. I mean, Chance should have really told Devon off and just said, you need to leave me and Abby and the child alone. If anything happens, we'll let you know. And that should have been Devon's cue to back off. But no, that was too much.
And this whole thing of, and again, you know how I am. I'm LGBT. I'm always proud. But I don't get Tessa and Mariah adopting a baby. It's, to me, it doesn't fit into the scenario of what's going on right now. It, to me, is going to feel rushed, and it's going to be ruined already.
And not only that, it's a way just to give, I think, Tessa and Mariah fans something for their fans to look forward to. But I think even for some of them, from what I talked to, where there's a couple, I think they know that this is going to be rushed, this is not going to be a good storyline, and there'll probably be no impact from it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really crazy, and no, I am excited, because like I said, the reason I was bringing up the whole idea of Chancellor Winters being public, and I was worried about this, because Jill is so quick, and Jill should be smarter than this, but... She's so quick, she wants to go ahead and be the next Victor Newman. She does not realize what she's doing. She's opening a Pandora box by making your own company public. That means that, like, Devon's trying to tell everybody, oh, we may give in and this is going to be good for us. How is it good for your company when everybody is going to have a hand in controlling your company? I mean, you remember As World Turns. Look what happened to Worldwide. Lucinda barely lost all her company.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean...
You know, remember we had India from Guiding Light. Remember she played Lucinda's lost sister.
Yeah, I remember that.
She was part of that takeover. That's what happened. They made it public, and she was able to get shares.
Not only that, bro, I'm lying on. Remember when DeBoer went public and Victor Newman stole it?
Yes, exactly. You see what I'm saying? And here's Victor all excited like a little kid. I'm going to get Chancellor Winters back, and I'm going to use my daughter to do it because Victoria is so quick. She's going to use Nate to get what she wants, which I'll give her credit. I'm not a Victoria fan, but I'm giving her credit here. She's starting to act like Victor, and this is okay. I'm enjoying this. But she's, again, she's doing a Jill. She's not paying attention to what she's doing. Involving Nate into your business, that's like Adam and always talking to Sally about what's going on in Newman. It's like, keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely, and, you know, if you don't learn from your mistakes, then if you don't learn from your mistakes, you're just going to repeat it again, over and over, so forth. Everyone at Chester Richards, Devon, I hope you know what you guys are doing. Jill, I mean, because with her coming back and Victoria possibly getting the company, anything can happen.
Oh, and then, okay, there's 2 points here before we go on to the next soap. Catch this. Okay, everybody is all like, oh, okay, well, he's trying to give Chancellor Winters another chance for Nate. He's playing along. But here's the dumb part. How is it that nobody is catching on that Nate is opening his big mouth all around Genoa City talking about business affairs? I mean, I'm surprised this new girl, Audra, didn't tell Lily, who's supposed to be in charge, what's going on about an employer talking shop. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I think Reiner missed a beat on that one right there.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if that were Victor Newman, you know he would have them on a plate.
Absolutely. Victor would destroy him.
Yes. Oh, and then the other part I'm excited that the last point I want to bring up, I'm really excited because when I found out that Lily is going to go after Victoria for revenge, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want because that's what Victoria gets for getting Nate to come over to her side knowing that he's vulnerable because he's not happy at Winters. So, it's going to be good. I think this is going to be one of those, the domino effect.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect all the businesses. And this is one story that I can go with. It's got that Dynasty Dallas feel, Knott's Landing feel. I'm okay with that. This one, I approve of.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. You know, because I think with Lily going on to Victoria, it would be a great storyline, mm-hmm. and I do think that both actresses can deliver from it perfectly.
Yeah. All right, let's go over to Port Charles. What's going on in General Hospital?
All right, let's go to GH4's General Hospital. In 2 weeks, the wicked story of Liz's impacts not only her, but Finn, as you quickly learn her role in his wife, Steph. Maggie takes on Austin. Dex is being framed by who? Jocelyn is his only true supporter. As the truth is coming out soon, he works for Michael. There's Charlotte in danger. Lucy may not get out of this chaotic cat and mouse game unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
Cody pushes Felicia to her limits. What about Mac? Porsche versus Jordan and what happens ahead due to the hook killer.
Okay, so we're going to break this one down too. This is getting good. General Hospital is going like almost like Titanic, up and down, but this is good. I'm enjoying most of these stories that fans can gripe about all they want, but at some point, you've got to pick your good and the bad, because General Hospital is going overboard on certain things, but then some things are going okay with. Like, let's break it down on, I'm really enjoying, and I'm not a Jocelyn fan, but I'm really enjoying the chemistry between Dex and Jocelyn. It's hot.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's kind of like Jason and Carly all over again in a way. I can go with that. That was sultry.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. I mean, that's Jocelyn. I think Jocelyn has someone who can understand her and listen to her.
Yes.
And, you know, not be so judgmental from time to time. You know, because we all know that Jocelyn is a mini Carly of her own. And I do think that Dex, you know, kind of knows how to handle that, but still learning in a way.
Dude, I love how protective she is of him. It's cute. They're almost like a little married couple. Think about it. She like, I got your sunglasses. You left them behind. He's like, oh, thanks. You know, like, hey, honey, you forgot the sunglasses. It's like, oh, my God, I'm okay for this couple. I don't want Christina paired with Dex, though. Let her have her own story. I don't care if she's, whatever, last time they had her bisexual or whatever. I don't care. Just give her a good story. But don't let her take away from Jocelyn on this one, because I'm sorry, I feel bad for Cam. Hopefully he finds somebody. But this Dex and Jocelyn, to me, this is the next super couple. I'm marking it. This is the one that's going to be, like, all over the... I bet you they're going to have, like, be on the covers in the next coming weeks, I bet you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that as well. I think that Dex and Jocelyn really have the makings to be Joe Hospital's next big, like, super couple ever. But yeah. I hope that the writers do, you know, do it very slowly, continue what they're doing, and just take it day by day, week by week, month by month, because, you know, Dex and Jocelyn, I feel... are a very cute, adorable, good couple.
Okay, now get ready for some confusion now. If you're like everybody else, you're like, huh? This whole Liz story, as you just said under spoiler, we're going to learn that Finn's wife faked her death. And what's going on, I know, I'm not excited about this. I'm like the rest of the fans. I don't like that they push Liz aside and make it a Finn story. Yes. We didn't need that. This is what we've been waiting for? No, this is not the payoff that we've been waiting for. They could have at least brought her dad in. If that was the case, they should have brought the dad. Now, watch closely. If you look carefully at the storyline, remember when we talked about Nathan? You can tell this is a definite rewrite. Because remember, Hayden was supposed to return.
Yes, we did talk about that. Okay. She was supposed to return.
Now they switched it. Instead of Hayden coming in, I'm thinking they're probably going to bring in the supposedly dead wife come in, and she's going to trigger more memories out of Elizabeth, if that's where they're going. Because now they're kind of making the story like Clay, and they're making up their own narrative. Apparently now, if you think about it, the way the writers are going, which is stupid, it's looking like when Liz was younger, she must have caught on to the affair that was going on between her dad and Finn's wife. Some type of altercation where it led to her pushing his wife down the steps where she thinks she's dead, but she's alive. You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, this is going to be like a, I hate to say it, but it's like, it's going to be like a mind fuck. And then after that, that's not enough for you. Then we've got to expand our imagination here. And apparently, this is the crazy part. We're supposed to believe that Finn and Elizabeth are within the same orbit of each other. That makes no sense at all.
No, it does. Because of the
age. And this is where I'm going to be surprised I'm saying this. The age thing is going to fit into this. Because how does that make any sense in far as, this is ridiculous. If she was young when she pushed his wife, then how old is Elizabeth supposed to be now? Wouldn't she be younger?
No, you know, you're not wrong at all. It's just the timeline for this is confusing in some ways.
Right, it doesn't make sense. I don't think they figured it out. I mean, I can get, okay, you want to involve where Elizabeth maybe pushed his wife to her death. I kind of get that. But the thing is, now you want to make us think that apparently Finn was in her orbit, but they didn't know each other then. They never met. She only knows about his wife. So you tell me, how does that make sense? I mean, is there any way out of this, or are we into another fluke story all over again?
I don't know. I think we might be heading into another fluke story because to me, this is just all about solidifying Finn and Liz as a couple, where for me, I mean, I thought there was something there between them at first, but then later on, I mean, especially recently, with Finn, you know, Finn being persistent, not giving Liz enough space or whatever, you know, the two of them as a couple together, to me, I just don't care for them anymore, unfortunately. And as far as the storyline goes, you know, honestly, to me, though, this should be just totally just a Liz storyline. And speaking of Jeff Weber, they have failed once again. I mean, months back when Franco died, you know, Terry was the one that told Liz about Jeff calling to check in on her, and we have not gotten anything on Jeff Weber or Caroline Weber or anyone from the Weber Hardy family reaching out to Elizabeth, including Hayden as well. I mean, General Hospital dropped the ball on this, and they're going to drop the ball on this again when it comes to Finn and Liz. Finn has nothing to do and should have nothing to do with this story when it comes to Liz. He should be there for support, but even he's doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, it's just really in limbo is what it feels. And I think what the problem is, and I'm catching it, have you caught the pattern, Nathan? These writers on General Hospital, they're writing as if they're teenagers.
We talked about that and mentioned about it.
I'm thinking the writers from General Hospital need to quit, and they just need to go on over to Degrassi High and start writing Degrassi High. You know what I'm saying? Dude, look at poor Chase. He's not even himself anymore. He's a teeny bopper now.
Oh, my God. Chase. What have they done with Chase, man?
What happened to my detective?
Chase gonna be a cop again?
What happened to my detective? Oh, my God. And yeah, Finn telling Chase that he's not a detective, he shouldn't be on the case? It's like, seriously, dude. There's a serial killer. I mean, don't get me wrong, Dante, you're a great cop. But Rory's doing nothing? What does Rory do? Oh, yeah, I heard about Rory Posley being a next victim. You know what? I'm glad. I'm over Rory. Or Bory. They call him Bory. The fans call him Bory. But I can't stand Rory no more.
No, neither can I. I mean, the character, to me, nothing against the actor, but the character is just a good face with a good body, and that's about it. And if he's going to kill it off, good. Good riddance, and will not miss the character of Bory.
I don't know. I know good looks and all, but still, that's not enough for me either. It doesn't even sustain my curiosity anymore for him. And for Cody, I'm gonna say this. I'm a big... Well, the actor that plays Cody was on One Life to Live. I adore him. But General Hospital has no idea what they're writing for him. As you saw in your spoilers, he's gonna push Felicia to the limits. Again, if it wasn't for Felicia, I would fast forward Cody.
Yeah, I mean,
and now you got Mac in the middle. That means they're forcing him in a Mac story just so we can watch him with Mac. That's kind of messed up. Like, Mac can't have his own story without having a forced unknown character like Cody. I mean, at least All My Children gave Erica another child, but they kind of made it a little sense. But General Hospital doesn't know how to bring out an unknown child without messing it up.
No, you're not wrong about it at all. They don't need to have characters like Mac and Felicia to make Cody relevant, in my opinion. They don't really do any of that at all. They have dropped the ball on Josh Kelly as Cody, and if, you know, I just think that if it wasn't for Felicia and Mac, I would care less, but I want to see what this would lead to. Between Cody, Mac, and Felicia, because we all know Mac is being speculated as Cody's son, and biological son, and I want to see where that goes. But honestly, either way, I could care less about Cody at this point. I wish the hook killer would go after him so we'd get rid of him. But that's highly unlikely.
And then you got people that are also saying that there's a possibility that Robert could be the dad. I hope not. I don't want Cody to be a Scorpio. I don't want that for Robin.
Same here. That would not make any sense. And again, it's the writers not knowing what they're doing, just throwing paper planes or whatever, seeing what sticks and what not sticks. It's just, don't do it, General Hospital. Just let it go. Leave it alone. I'd rather see Robert Scorpio try to find and rescue Holly with everyone else helping him. But none of that as well. Don't do it.
Now, we're going to break this down because Nathan and I always enjoy bringing it, how you say, keeping it real. Apparently, there's so much talk on Twitter about that a certain younger actor wasn't showing respect to another older actor and vice versa. And you know how I feel, Nathan. I don't believe in kissing ass for anybody.
Same here. I mean,
so the way I'm seeing it is the fact that if the older actor can't handle the rejection, then maybe he should just get off the pedestal. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When I found out and heard about that, I was just...
Dude, everything was wildfire. I swear, it was like Twitter just went on fire that day.
Yeah, everyone was just going off on this actor and on his, you know, on his show, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, I totally get where you're coming from, and I agree with you. No one should kiss anyone's ass on set. If you want to be respected, you have to earn your respect, no matter what. Because when you're in the workplace, no matter what you do, you're working with other people to make that company or whatever a good environment so that you can help others. And so for this actor to, you know, go that route is kind of disappointing, but not surprising in a way. But I do agree with you. If he can't handle it anymore, he should get off the pedestal, because to me, he's just there for the paycheck these days.
Well, I love General Hospital. I love watching the soap. But, you know, this proved my theory. Remember, we've talked about this, Nathan. Behind the scenes of daytime, it's not what people think it is. It's not all puppy dogs and roses and candy, because this is going crazy here. That little spread of fire that was mentioned proved our point for me and you, Nathan, that... apparently, if you work at General Hospital, it's not as happy as they want you to think it is.
Right. We have talked about this before and spoken about it. The continuity behind the scenes is not all roses and sunshine. And that goes for themselves back in the day. I mean, I remember hearing so many things about, you know, Y&R, maybe a little bit of All My Children, Where I Have to Live.
You remember Beverly Hills 90210 was the worst?
Yeah, the environment there.
Charmed? Charmed?
Bad.
Oh my God, I heard so many nightmare stories behind the scenes in Charmed, the one with, was Alyssa Milano and Shannon Doherty and the other actress.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That was so horrible.
You know, this is just... and this is why fans are quick like, oh, well, you canceled our show, it's the writer's fault. You know, most of the time it is, but it's also, don't forget, some of it is the cast. Because if you can't get along, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you can't always blame the actors, not the actors, but you can't just blame the writers and the executive producers. I mean, the actors have to understand that, you know, no matter what you do, you have to be professional. You have to help each other. If you have an issue, then do it behind the scenes, not in the studio or whatever. But, you know, when it comes to whether it's a soap opera, a primetime soap or whatever, you have to understand that, you know, at the end of the day, everyone not only wants to get paid, but also wants to, I think, work for one another and make sure that the environment is protected.
Yes. Tonight's podcast is brought to us by Don't Worry, Darling. It's a mystery thriller, horror, and it stars Harry Styles. It's directed by Olivia Wilde. I watched it earlier today. I've got to tell you, Nathan, this movie is phenomenal. Don't believe the hype of the haters, because I'm going to tell you this. To me, I felt that it was an elevated horror story with the dark, twisty edge with the feel of Stepford Wives.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you get where I'm going with it, right?
No, I see where you're going with it.
Yeah. And, wait till you watch it. You're like, oh my God, that's what he means. So check it out. It's called Don't Worry, Darling. It's on theaters. And again, it does start Harry Styles. And, you know, I feel bad for the fact that so many people don't even give a lot of movies chances. They're just quick to like give it a bad rating. But this one, I urge everybody, forget ignore the haters. Go watch it yourself. Let us know. Nathan, tell them where they can find you on Twitter. Let them know. Let us know where you are in watching this movie, because we want to hear the feedback from y'all. And you can follow me at Willie's View PW on Twitter. And Nathan, where can they find you?
They can find me. You guys can find me on MoneyMac101. That's at M, capital M, O-E-N-Y-M-A-C, with the numbers 101, with the Twitter name. Sam McCall is The Last Morgan. Nathan Banks, that's my Twitter. And you guys can reach out to me, and we can talk about, I guess, about the movie and anything else.
All right. So what is our final spoiler you have for tonight?
For which one?
Oh, did we do all of them already? I know
we didn't do Days of Our Lives.
Yes, go ahead and do Lace. Just so the listeners understand, we're not doing Bold and the Beautiful tonight because we're just not happy with it right now. But you can catch those spoilers on another podcast. But go ahead, Nathan, we're ready for Days. What's going on in Salem?
Okay, let's go to Days of Our Lives. Let's see what's happening in Salem. As the truth about Abigail's murder comes to light, the aftermath shakes up Salem. Mm-hmm. Sarah harbors more dark secrets from the past. Alex proves himself a worthy person to love. Nancy unravels over her fiance's betrayal. Nicole and Eric may get an unexpected surprise nobody saw coming. The question asks, what is Jerry really up to? And last but not least, EJ goes after Clyde.
Okay, so let's break down a little bit in Salem. What did you feel about the reveal for Abigail's killer? Were you okay with it, or did you feel screwed over?
I actually didn't feel screwed over. I was fine with Clyde for being revealed that Clyde's the one that, you know, killed Abigail, because Clyde and Abby do have history together because of Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with Clyde being the one who killed Abby, it does make sense. But I think that more is going to be revealed in a way, maybe in the next couple of weeks and months, because I think Clyde was somehow ordered or forced to do it
by Orpheus.
Or because of someone else.
I'm okay with it being Clyde, because if you think about it, and this is Ron's perfect mastification here, by getting Clyde to be the killer, that gets him off the board and he's not connected anymore to be talking to, like, Alex, where people can be confused with, isn't that his dad? So that's smart thinking. That's one way to clear, there you go, like a chess. One's out, it's time to go on next.
Yeah, that makes sense as well. And, you know, like you said about, you know, Clyde, about, you know, everything else, I agree. I mean, because people still to this day, in a way, you know, still kind of confused Robert Scott Wilson's Alexander for Ben. But, you know, with Clyde, I think out of the picture,
it'll make it better.
It'll make it better.
And then also, I'm really excited because now that we know that it's Clyde, because I found out about it, so I wanted that to be a surprise for you. But I knew it was going to be Clyde and not Craig. But the other part was that I'm also excited because now that we're going to have the aftermath of Abigail's death, think about it. Clyde has a connection to everybody, because remember, it was Clyde that killed EJ.
Yes, and speaking of EJ, the spoiler I told you about, EJ goes after Clyde. That's been a long time coming, because when EJ figured it out in the prison months back, and about Clyde, you know, I think he knew that Clyde was the one who had him, quote-unquote, killed. So EJ is going to go after Clyde, and when he captures him or whatever, he's going to let Clyde have it, and I'm looking forward to see those scenes as well.
How are you taking to Jada?
I like Jada. I like Jada and her connection to Salem and Days of Our Lives. She's, for those of you that do not know, or probably know by now, she is the daughter of Marcus Hunter, played by the actor who passed away many years ago. So, you know, Jada is Marcus's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying her time in Salem. I enjoy her time. Enjoy scenes with the Wraith and other people as well.
She's very talented. I'm enjoying her. Yes. What do you think is going to be her agenda, though? You know how everybody goes to Salem, they have an agenda. What do you think her agenda is going to be? Do you think she's purposely there to come between Nicole and Eric for a reason?
I'm not sure. I don't know, but I do think that from the trailer that for Days of Our Lives on Peacock, from what we had, She did go to Burning Palm to see Rafe and faint it, so I don't know if that means that she has a health condition or whatever, or it could possibly mean she might be pregnant by Eric. I hope not, but...
Yeah, I hope not. I don't want any of these daytime soaps to do any pregnancy stories. Please, not for the fall. We've done enough of those every other year. Let's take a break from that. I think the writers need to break away from that. There's more to writing than just getting women pregnant in daytime. That's just ridiculous already.
Yeah, I agree. It's ridiculous already. We've had enough of it over the years, especially under, you know, Ron Carbotti, because I remember back on General Hospital, you know this as well.
Yes.
He was on the show. There was all these, like, pregnancies taking place, like wildfire, and it was just too much. But about Jada, I'm not sure what her agenda could be, but I am interested and intrigued.
All right, so before we let you go, why don't you tell the audience, what did you think about the premiere of Quantum Leap, the new Quantum Leap? Is it a yay or a nay in your opinion? And what did you like and what didn't you like on the premiere?
Well, I will definitely give, Quantum Leap a yay for me. I thought the first episode was pretty good, pretty decent. I am enjoying the actor who plays the main character on the show.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And also the story as well, because as we all know, for those who watched the old Quantum Leap back in the day, Scott Bakula, who... played Sam. He was, you know, the person, the main character of the show.
Yes, he's Boss. I watched that growing up. I love the original Quantum Leap.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it as well. And I actually read that he, I think, was approached to have like a role in or something and passed on it or whatever. I would love to see.
He did because he didn't. He didn't. He felt like he didn't want to tarnish the memories of the past, which makes sense. Because that's smart thinking, because remember, once you're in control of the writers, they can ruin your character like that. And he just wants the fans to remember his character the way it used to be, not bringing him back and then tarnishing it in any way, which is, again, that's really smart thinking on the actor's part. I would have done the same thing. You don't want to trust these writers in the prime time right now. I mean, I love our shows, but some of these writers, they don't know how to write for older characters.
Anyway, about that, and it's also about respecting the history. And
exactly, yes.
Scott Bakula's character, Sam, was like, let's say, if he did an appearance or whatever, and his character was on the show, and they did something wrong, then I'm pretty sure a lot of people would be angry with the current Quantum Leap, would not have anything to do with it.
That could have caused the show to get canceled. That's like one bad move you don't want to make.
Absolutely, and but overall for me, I'm enjoying it.
I'm glad you did. I really enjoyed it too, and I like, if you think about it, it feels like you're on a roller coaster ride, but super, super maximum overdrive, because it starts off like really fast on the beginning of the pilot. It's like, oh my god, it's already over.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Yeah, the pacing was really fast for the show.
What is it? 30 minutes or an hour? Right? Because I know commercials are crazy.
I'll say it again.
Is it like 30 minutes or an hour for the show?
I forgot, but
it goes fast, right? It's like you're already fast. Like it's over already.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for being part of tonight. It means always a lot. And don't forget to check out the crossovers for the Law and Orders, which you're, you know, all three of them. There's a big story in there, and it's going to lead more into the next part of the season. And don't forget, on Monday, 911 is back with its new season, so I cannot wait for that. What about you, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well, to the return of 911. Mm-hmm. And also, like I said, I mentioned before about the Law & Order crossover series. I saw that last night, and it was a very good show. I thought there were some kind of flaws here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, it was pretty good with the three shows coming together for this crossover. And I recommend everyone to check it out, give it a try, and check out the Law & Order crossover. You'll enjoy it.
Yes, and check out Chicago PD. Oh, my gosh. They're raising the bar this season because we're losing Jesse Sulfur that plays Detective Halstead. So pay close attention because he's going to leave mid-season. In a big, shocking way.
Yes, that's true as well. You know, Jesse has done a great job of Chicago PD for all this time, and, you know, I'm going to miss him on the show. I hope that he does well in whatever future endeavors he does next.
All right, well, thanks, Nathan, and have a great night.
All right, have a great night, everyone, and thank you guys for listening to us. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, and we will see you next time. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.